In the Bible, geography is huge. In fact, very often, frequently, when the Lord is doing something, the place and the location where he's doing it often speaks as loudly as the thing that's happening does. Here's what I mean. Take, for example, the baptism of Jesus. He's baptized in the Jordan River. The Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee, flows down about 85 miles, and then just pours into the Dead Sea. And the place where Jesus was baptized is just a couple of miles right above where it ends into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of the earth. You cannot get lower than that in the whole face of the earth. So notice what's happening here. In the very moment that the Son of God is stepping into the waters of the Jordan with all of us sinners, and he's saying to us, look, I am willing to leave behind all of the glory of heaven and just descend with you down into the depths of your darkness and your struggles and your sin, I'm willing to go as low as I need to go in order to raise you up out of it. At the very moment that his baptism is saying that, the place itself, the very location, is telling us the same thing. The lowest point on earth is where Christ is when he's baptized. Now that is just one of so many beautiful ways that God speaks loudly and clearly to us through the very geography of what he's doing in Scripture. I mention that because we have something similar in the gospel today. What St. Matthew is wanting to say to us is, look, do not miss where Jesus begins his public ministry, where he begins the work of salvation. It happens when he leaves Nazareth and he settles into the town of Capernaum. It's the town of Peter and Andrew. And it's here that he's right in the middle of the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, these two tribes of Israel. But this land, for centuries, had borne the brunt of every invading army that would come down in from the north, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the Romans, you name it. There was this ancient major road called the Way of the Sea that every army would come in with. And the first spot that they would hit in Israel was this land of Zebulun and Naphtali, where Capernaum is. For centuries, they witnessed bloodshed, death, darkness, destruction. It was so bad that after these centuries, the people are mixed in with Gentiles and pagans. The faith is not as pure as it would have been in Jerusalem. It was an area that was absolutely forsaken. And it had been that way for something like 700 years. So that Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus begins the work of salvation, even then, Isaiah refers to it as this land that is overshadowed by death. The people there, he says, they sit in darkness. It's Galilee of the Gentiles. Even the Israelites just considered it kind of forsaken by God. That's why when people found out that Jesus came from Galilee, they said, what? What good could possibly come from Galilee? Why would the Savior come from there? Like, that's the land that God forgot. Geography is important because it's exactly in this place where the people were most broken, most helpless, most in darkness, that Jesus begins the work of salvation. Now, there are two huge things that he's saying to us in this. The first is, by deliberately beginning in that area, that land, that was just overshadowed by darkness and death, what he's saying to us is, I don't care how far you think you are from me, I'm coming to save you. and you are not beyond my reach. Now, you and I need to hear that, because there are a lot of times that we believe that maybe we've simply gone too far beyond the reach of God's mercy and love and power. So we need to know that he's deliberately beginning his work of salvation in the land that people would have said, no, they cannot be saved. Like, start in Jerusalem. You've got hope there. But he doesn't do that. He begins in the darkest place as a way of saying to us, not one of you is beyond my reach. Now, another reason that I think he begins here is precisely because these people had experienced such brokenness in life that they were already more disposed, more open to receiving a Savior. Like, they were beyond any idea that they could save themselves. They were so broken over those centuries that it was a good place for the Lord to say, I'm here, and I know that you need me, but I also know that you need me. Had he begun in Jerusalem, where things were a bit more comfortable? Well, we know what happened when he went to Jerusalem. He was rejected even more there than he was in other places. When we're comfortable in life, we tend to say to the Lord, you know, thanks for the offer. I'm doing okay right now. I've got it now. But when it gets out of control, then I'll come back to you. The Lord begins in a place where the people were already convinced of their utter helplessness and their utter brokenness. He starts there because it's to those that he finds the greatest reception, the greatest readiness to say, Lord, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to come and do this work in me. So the application for us, well, one, I don't care how far you are from the Lord. And remember, just by the way, the fact that you and I are coming to Mass and we're here in church, it doesn't mean that we're the ones who have our act together. In fact, the most beautiful parish would be the parish that brings in the most broken of people. And that's who we are, honestly. Sometimes we forget that. But we need to begin first with, Lord, thank you for reminding me that I am not beyond your reach. And you need to share that with friends and family who believe that they're beyond God's reach. You need to let them know that, as we often heard the saints say, that the church is not the hotel for saints, it's the hospital for sinners. That's the truth. This is the place where the Lord wants to heal the broken. But the second part of the application is this. Every one of us has experienced stuff in our life that has brought us down to rock bottom. There are things in our lives right now at this very moment that we do not have under our control, where we experience brokenness and sin and hurt and division, and it's stuff that's screaming out to us, you don't have it together. But very often, we just ignore that voice. And we put on a good, strong face, and we pretend to ourselves and others that we've got it all together. And we don't. And so here's the thing, very simply. The Lord, I think today, is saying to us, let the brokenness in your life do for you what it's meant to do, which is to deeply awaken your heart to how much you need a Savior. Let the brokenness in your life do what it's meant to do, to convince you, Lord, I can't do this. I cannot do it on my own. Now, it's in those areas where we are most broken that we tend to be most frustrated with God. Why are you letting this happen to me? And it's the area that we think he's least active. In fact, in light of all of this, what we learn is it's the area that he wants to be most active. And so very simply today, you know that area in your life. As I'm talking about brokenness and struggles with sin and all of that, there's an area that you're already thinking about, and it didn't take you long to think of it. You know what it is. Today, would you let the Lord into that area? Would you be willing today to just throw in the towel and say, Lord, like the people in Galilee, I'm willing to admit that I don't have my act together, and in fact, I'm at rock bottom in whatever area it might be, and I'm ready now. I'm ready for you to come in. What does it look like when we do that? Well, what it can look like is very much what we see in the first three steps of a 12-step program. And the 12 steps have been a beautiful source of healing for many men and women over the last century. But here are the first three steps. And these are the three most basic steps in our relationship with God in terms of, like, where do you start when you hit rock bottom? Step one, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions, our compulsive behaviors, our sins. We admitted that we were powerless over them, that our lives had become unmanageable. Where is that for you, that your life is most unmanageable? The second step, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's Him. We came to believe that God could save us, that He could restore us to sanity, to life, to wholeness, to holiness. We believe that. And then step three, because we believe that, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. That's the beginning. That's it. And this is what I think the Lord is inviting us to do this Sunday. Geography in Scripture is huge. And today He reminds us that it's in those areas where we are most broken, we've experienced the greatest darkness and death, that He wants to come in. Not only to remind us that we're not beyond His power to save, but to meet us in a place where we're going to be more open to it because we've just realized, Lord, I can't do it. Today, would you be willing to throw in the towel in that area of your life? I mean, just kind of spiritually, just throw it up here and just surrender and say, Lord, I'm ready to let you come in and do in me, for me, what you've come to do.